current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy and the world's news for Friday, May 29th, 2020, the last Friday in the month of May, heading into June, halfway through 2020, and hopefully wherever you are enjoying the freedom of the Lord. One of the scripture verses that comes to mind through all of this global pandemic is, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so clearly the Spirit of the God of this world has been working overtime, Pastor Mark.
Yes, he absolutely. And boy, are we seeing it.
We are seeing
absolutely.
It
absolutely.
You know, I came across some interesting things, just a couple that I just thought were interesting in terms of did-you-know facts. Do you know how long it takes for an oyster to produce a medium-sized pearl?
Wow, I know the process, but I don't know how long it
5 years.
Wow. Wow, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is.
An ostrich's eye is bigger than its brain. No, I guess that's where you get the whole thing with bird brain.
Yeah, there you go. There
whatever.
You go.
And the other thing that I like, too, is that you know, all the what is it, the proverbial saying, what came first?
That's right.
The chicken or the egg?
That's right.
Well, Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 through 22 tells us the chicken
absolutely
came before.
That's right. Created beforehand, and so
for the egg.
But now we're all more equipped and ready to spread the gospel.
That's right. We are. So don't be chicken. Okay. That deserved a rim shot.
Yes.
God mail.
Okay, Pastor Mark, we've got a listener question. This comes from Connor. And his subject is the Jews. He says, "Hey, I've been listening to Signs of the Times for a few months now, and I love it. So thank you for that, Connor. But I have a question. If Jesus was a Jew, and Jews are God's chosen people, why do they go to hell if they aren't saved? How can you be God's chosen people and still go to hell?"
Yeah,
that's a great question.
It really is a great question, and let's talk about that. First of all, when it says they're God's chosen people, that doesn't mean that they're all chosen to go to heaven, and that's where I think people get confused. What it means is the Bible says that God chose the nation of Israel as a people group on the earth to represent him, to receive his word, and to bring the Messiah through. But God never said that every single one of them would be saved. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on in Romans and says this, "Everyone who's an Israelite everyone who's a Jew is not a true Israelite." And what does he mean by that? I'm putting in my own words. What he means is, just because you're a Jew and even you're an Israelite does not mean you're spiritual Israel. It doesn't mean you're saved. So the Bible says in the last days, all Israel will be saved. Well, that sounds like every Jew. But then Paul goes on and says, but wait a minute. All who are called Israel are not true Israel. And that just means they are by birth, genetically, from Abraham, but they're not born again, so they're not spiritual Abraham's kids or spiritual Israel, so they'll not go to heaven. Now, as far as the chosen, remember, as a nation, they're chosen as a people group to bring in the word, bring in the Messiah, but not all of them are saved, and not all of them will be saved. They were chosen for that purpose. The only way someone can be saved, and yet God is keeping his promises to the nation. He gave them the land. He said in the last days he would revive them and all this. He's keeping his promises, but they're not all saved. And the only way that anyone can go to heaven, be it Jew or Gentile, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to confess your sin. You've got to repent of your sin. And then you've got to turn, you know, then you've got to believe that Jesus died on the cross, his blood, and that's the only way you get into heaven. So I hope that's a good enough, I hope that explains it good enough for you there, Connor. That's a great question. But it's just almost like saying that, you know, everyone that goes to church is a Christian. They're not. Mm. Everyone that goes to church is around Christians, and maybe they think they are, but they're not a true Christian until they're converted. The chosen people are a people. They're a people group set aside for what God's purposes are. But they have to individually make that choice for God in order to get into heaven.
Yeah, maybe you can expand on that just for a little bit and talk about why God chose them. Because it wasn't because, well, like you're like, who's my favorite kid type of thing.
Right.
No, there was a specific purpose why he chose them, and it wasn't for, you know, favoritism.
Well, God even says, you know what? I didn't choose you because you were more righteous than anyone else. But he makes a point in Ezekiel and other places. God makes a point saying, matter of fact, you were a stiff-necked people.
Yeah.
God chose them because Abraham was his friend, and he made a promise to Abraham. He loved Abraham. Abraham was his friend, and he said, I'm going to use your descendants to bring in the Messiah, to be established as this world, you know, nation that'll be my representatives. And so it was basically because of his love for them, his love for Abraham, and the fact that Abraham was his friend. It had nothing to do with their righteousness, which, by the way, today they're not righteous at all for the most part. And that's why, even as we look at the promises for the Jews back in the land, it's not because they get back in the land because they're more righteous than others and they deserve it and the Palestinians don't or whatever. It's because God made that promise to them, and God keeps his promises. That's why.
Yeah. Connor, that was a great question.
It really was.
Thank you for sending that in. If you've got a question like Connor, we invite you to reach out to us on our Facebook or Twitter at Prophecy Help is how you do that. Or you can go right to our website at thesigns.org and send us a prophecy question. That way you can also listen to this show and other shows, subscribe to the podcast. This is episode 127. Okay. Matthew 24, Jesus talks about a lot of things that are going to be happening increasingly.
He does.
In the latter days.
That's right.
He talks about earthquakes. He talks about pestilence and plagues, famines in various places. And he also talks about nation against nation.
Right.
And kingdom against kingdom.
Right.
So let's talk about that first before we get to the church stuff that's obviously on your heart this week, but let's talk about that nation versus nation thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And what that means and why that's a highlight in the news this week.
Yeah, and this is why really going back and doing your own word studies for our listeners out there is so important.
Yeah.
Don't believe what Pastor Mark says. Don't believe what Greg says. Not that we would intentionally deceive you, but don't just believe what people tell you. That's how people are deceived. And whoever's the best talker and has the most charisma and the most influential, they win the day.
Yeah.
But that can't be how it is, or that's not how it should be. The one that wins the day should be God by the word of God. He is the one that has the answers. He is the one that wins the day. So, when you look at the Greek and the Hebrew, New Testament in Greek, Old Testament in Hebrew, that's where you find out deeper meanings of what God was really saying in his word. We have translated it into English, but to go back to the original languages is where you get the most info. And this is where we get some great insight in that particular passage and that verse, Greg, that you just brought up. And when it talks about nation rising against nation, you get the image of America versus China or whatever, and this kind of thing is happening today. No, what it literally means is ethnos against ethnos. And that means ethnic group against ethnic group, which means, for example, white against black, or fill in the blank of any other group. And let me just clarify, people will say the different races. I understand the world, you got to speak that way. But Christians, hear me on this. And this, I believe, would solve so many things if the whole world accepted this.
Amen.
There are no different races. There's no such thing but one race. The Bible makes it very clear. There aren't different races on the earth. That's a man-created term. It's a man-created concept, different races. Now, if you're coming from one viewpoint, you'd get very upset about that because you want to maybe exemplify what you think your race is. Or if you come from a Christian or conservative viewpoint, you're going to be saying, well, you know what? I like that because that tears down all the walls between mankind. The Bible says there's one race, just one, and it's called the human race. It's interesting, you know, it takes me a long time to catch on, Greg, and sometimes you ever had those things that you just finally catch on after all these years and realize where that word came from?
Several.
I shared this, I think, with you a couple of weeks ago, but mankind is one that hit me just the other day.
You did, yeah.
Because I'd never put it in the context. When you go back and read Genesis, it says he made dog kind, cat kind, after their kind, each one. He made monkey kind, he made all the different kinds, and he made mankind. It just means it's a grouping. That's all it is. So when people freak out and say, well, you can't say mankind because there's women. Of course there's women. Mankind includes women because women are mankind. They're the same kind of creation. Female monkeys are the same kind of the male monkey creation. All these things are the same kind. So the word there, ethnos against ethnos, what it means is there's, as we said, there's only one race. So it's not really racial tensions. It's ethnic tensions that you're seeing right now in Minneapolis. You're seeing people think it's racial.
Yeah.
But it's truly ethnic tensions. And it's the ethnic group from the African origin and the ethnic group from the European origin that are now, because of history and things, colliding. And you have this ethnic inflammation, so to speak. And that's exactly what the Bible says you're going to see in the last days. You're going to see black versus white. You're going to see Palestinian versus Jew. You're going to see, whatever. Name any people group around the world that don't get along. It's an ethnic section of people fighting with another ethnic section of people, all of the same humankind, all of one race, all from two parents, Adam and Eve, but just human sin nature now divided up in their groups and fighting against each other. So that's the biblical explanation of what we see going on here. And so I wanted to bring that up and touch on that today because we talked about it when Ferguson came up and all these other things.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not even addressing the atrocities that were done wrong. In Ferguson, that pretty much turned out to be not what they presented it as. The officer didn't do anything wrong, and it showed that that young man did something wrong. However,
In this case,
the officer, it would appear, Greg, is very, very wrong.
Yeah.
I would call it... I don't know what else to call it, but really, if not flat out murder, attempted murder that ended up being in murder. I mean, he killed that man.
Yeah.
When I watched that video, here's my thing. There's no evidence that man was resisting, but even if he was resisting, you don't kill him.
Yeah.
You put him in cuffs. And here's the thing, Greg, look, officers are trained. If you're in cuffs, even laying them on their stomach can be dangerous.
Yes.
Because they teach them, never lay them on their stomach if they're cuffed. You lay them on their side. Why? Because it mashes the diaphragm, which is your breathing mechanism along with your lungs. If you mash the diaphragm, you're constraining the breathing ability. Not only that, he's pushing on the carotid artery on the side of the neck.
It's cutting the blood off.
It cuts the blood circulation off. If you do that for 6 or 7 minutes, he's not getting oxygen to his brain. I mean, listen, this is, I believe...
It's horrible.
I believe it's murder. I believe this man needs the full extent of the law. I'm just going to say it. I support the police. The police are a God-ordained divine institution. It tells us that in Romans chapter 13. But even like there are bad pastors, even like there are bad Walmart workers, even like there are bad, name any place you want, there are bad policemen.
This just in, that officer has just been taken into custody.
Yeah, I can't believe it took this long.
Yeah,
Greg, the thing is that, look, I believe in a fair trial. I believe the evidence has to be seen. I think he needs to be able to be judged by his peers in a court of law. If we don't, then we become lawless, which is another thing the last days talks about. Lawlessness will abound.
But,
So the bottom line is that man killed Mr. Floyd, and it was just evil and wrong. And it just, he had 17 prior complaints against him.
I mean, that officer?
Yes.
Wow.
This guy should have, I personally, at this point,
should have
never been on the force. He has some deeper issues going on, and I see this man as a killer, and he needs to be dealt with appropriately.
Wow.
So, with that said, that doesn't mean that every policeman's bad. It doesn't mean when there's a bad pastor that every pastor's bad. It doesn't mean when there's a bad whatever, name anybody out there in the business world or work, it doesn't mean that everybody in there's bad. Look, Target didn't kill that man. AutoZone didn't kill that man. The police station in Minneapolis didn't kill that man. So to go and burn those down and break out the windows, that's wrong. That's lawlessness. And so here's the thing. You have something very, very wrong that happened to Mr. Floyd, an evil that is going to be judged and should be. But it doesn't make it right by now everybody else going out and being lawless and burning down buildings and destroying the community of Minneapolis. You're making it worse. That's your home. That's where you live. You need to protect where you live and go after the bad guy, not your town. Your town didn't do it. That guy did it. And if there's leaders that need to be removed, remove them.
Yeah.
Vote them out, fire them, whatever has to be done. So, but again, it gets back to what you're seeing is ethnic tensions. And here's where Satan is a master. Satan takes a situation like this. He makes it larger he keeps making it larger. And I'm not making it, but it is large. It's large enough by itself. It's gigantic.
Yeah, this is legit.
But he takes these type situations and can just add to them, blow them out of proportion, and he turns ethnos against ethnos and destroys societies. And that's what's happening.
And I'm not going to say that the outrage or the response to this wouldn't be what it is. But I think when you add on to the fact the stress and the strain that everyone's been under, being locked down or their lives altered or jobs lost or family members died, it doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. But you know what, Greg? Even without that, it still happened.
No, it still happened. I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, I think that exacerbates the situation even more. Yeah, so.
Absolutely. So I want to be clear on this. We by no means, we think that was an evil thing that happened. It was murder. The man needs to be dealt with appropriately.
He is now.
Yes,
finally.
Yes. Yeah. But at the same time, it's not something that we should say, okay, since he was lawless, I'm going to be. He was lawless. That means that God does. I can go out now and I can burn down buildings, break out windows, because that's what this world deserves because of how, you know, our ethnic group is being treated. If the white people are all being treated horribly, part of humankind, you know, mankind, it doesn't mean that we go burn down every building that a black person owns or that a white person owns or that a Chinese person owns or that we do it than anybody owns, because at the same time, we're all answerable to God. So I don't want to belabor it, but just to say my heart is with the community there in Minneapolis. My heart is with that family, what they're going through, for their watching there. I can't imagine watching my family member be killed by anybody, much less an officer, when he's handcuffed. I mean, this is like, it reaches the highest level of atrocity to me.
Reminds me of OJ.
But yeah, in many ways.
With Rodney King in many ways. Yeah.
But at the same time, it doesn't mean we go burn down the Knoxville police station, because they didn't do it. And listen, all the other officers at the Minneapolis Police Department, they didn't do this.
Yeah,
they didn't do this. They're being held accountable. Now, I don't know them individually, but again, it'd be like if a pastor does something, he steals money from the body, from the body of Christ, and commits adultery and runs off with the secretary. I'm not going to hate all the church and go burn churches down because how dare that pastor, you know, do this to all of us who are Christians. Now, I get that it's much deeper in the sense of Satan has been able to really inflame this because of the history that has happened of slavery and these other, and I get that. Look, I don't know what that's like. I'm not going to pretend I do. But here's the bottom line. Whether I know what it's like or not, it's still not right. I know what's right and wrong. And right is you don't go just breaking the law because somebody else does. But this man needs to be held to the full accountability of the law. So anyway, that's what's happening there.
Yeah. And the next thing we want to talk about is kind of what we're dealing with locally and what I would say churches in general. And when I say general, I'm talking about anyone who has a church. So we're not talking about within Christianity.
Right.
We're talking about anyone who has an organized religion.
Right.
Okay. And how they're being affected state by state. And some things that you've seen in the news this week that you want to talk about.
I do, yeah. I want to now shift gears a little bit and talk about, you know, what's happening as far as what I see something. And this is why we keep you up to signs of the times, what the enemy's doing. What is Satan doing to get the world ready for the Antichrist?
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying this is the final event. What I want our listeners to understand is that Satan works in stages. It's like anything else. You start out taking baby steps. You learn how to walk a little bit farther, and then before you know it, you're running. Satan is doing the same thing leading up to the Antichrist taking over the world. He takes baby steps. He moves a little bit at a time until finally he's taken over the entire world in what his purposes are and what he wants to do. And so the ultimate goal is, here's what the Bible says, our ultimate end of where we're going to be with the Antichrist. He's going to one day stand up, possessed by Satan, and declare that he is God. And when he says he's God, at the final 3.5 years before Christ comes back, the midpoint of that 7 years, he's going to declare that he's God, and he's going to say, you have to bow down and worship me, and you cannot bow down to anyone else. You cannot worship anyone else. You can only worship me. So he's going to shut down every other avenue of worship, at least for those that, you know, unless they can hide it. In general, it's all shut down, and he'll demand that total worship. So what we're going to be watching for is a gradual step-by-step getting towards shutting down all other forms of worship. And this is interesting to me, how this COVID-19 is being used. COVID-19 is real. Not something to be toyed with or played with. We take it serious, and we should. Although we've been very protected in Knox County for whatever the reason, only 5 deaths over 5 months. I think we've had as many flu deaths or more in our county. So it really hasn't been a threat to us. But with that said, it has been in other places, and we take it seriously. With that being said, some of the measures that the government, Greg, which the Bible says the whole world is under the sway of the evil one, except for believers. James tells us that.
Yes.
Some of the steps the government is taking are so absurd and really kind of overreaching when you see what else they've done that you begin to wonder, such as you can go to the marijuana places in groups and get all your marijuana. You can go to the liquor stores in groups and get all you want. You can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church. All right. So now come on. Something weird. You can get an abortion. Can't go to church. This is obviously spiritual, okay? We know that. And so this is a spiritual attack that's happening. But with that said, you're going to see more and more pressure turned up on the church, first and foremost, to break to pull them from worship, because eventually all worship has to go towards Satan.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see not just the church, but note this, be watching for small steps of every religion having their rights to worship slowly but systematically removed, and if not completely removed, getting the mindset that it could happen.
Mm.
Or what do I mean? Well, let's give you one right here. This article here, which you'll find on our page because it's going to be added since I sent it to the proper person who does all the adding things. But this one here from Business Insider. Notice what it says, dated April 8, 2020. Speech and singing may spray the coronavirus further than 6 feet. Again, they came out later and said 14. Here's what that means for loud talkers. Now, I'm not going to read the article. This is Business Insider. This is not Religious Daily or churchgoers or, the anti-Christian. This is the mindset of the world. Now, who do you know that falls in that category? Everybody's got friends that talk loud. If I'm your friend, I'm one of them. Okay, we know that. But who else talks loud always, every week? Pastors. That's what they're called to do, to get behind a microphone or a pulpit and talk clearly and loudly, not to have to yell, but a nice projected voice so that the message of the gospel can go out. Now, who else sings every week on a regular basis? The church, believers, God commands. Praise God with praises. Lift up your voice. Shout and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right?
Right.
Notice what's happening. I say, well, come on, you're stretching it, Pastor Mark. I mean, they're just talking about because of COVID. I'm not saying that there aren't temporary measures for temporary things where you don't need to be doing that. I get it. You shouldn't be shouting in the room when your friend's asleep. So there's times when it's obvious it's not appropriate. Or right. Singing, okay?
Right.
But when you see it extending on, it's like, we need to change our lifestyle, which they're talking about now.
Yeah.
We should kind of all work toward no loud talking. We probably all ought to stop singing in public unless it's a concert way back on a stage.
Yeah.
What you're doing is, it makes it sound like you're doing a good general thing for the culture. But Greg, if you have spiritual glasses on, this is a direct attack for those who would worship God.
Now, I know this isn't church related, but it makes the point. I read an article the other day in Japan, the amusement parks, they're going to open back up.
Right.
And you can ride the roller coaster, but you can't scream.
That's right. That's right.
You have to remain silent as you're riding because you will project.
Silent terror. Yes. You have to have silent terror. Silent terror.
You can't scream. So you saw that too. Okay.
Yeah. Well, again, if you get me on certain things, I'll be screaming. That's just how it is.
You can still enjoy the ride, but you can't scream.
I don't scream like a girl. Typically when I'm scared, I'm quiet. I kind of freeze.
Right.
But I have had some things I've been on that have scared me so much that I've gone, and I've been annoyed like that. I'll grunt.
Yeah.
Okay, that's happened before. So there may be
screaming. That's probably permissible. You can probably grunt.
Yeah, maybe so. Either way.
Okay.
But here's what I'm saying. Most people will see this if you don't have spiritual glasses, and you'll go, well, that's reasonable. But now I want our listeners to note this. As a signs of the times, working toward where one day the Antichrist will say, nobody can sing to anybody but me. Nobody can make a loud voice but anybody but praising me. Now you see an underlying theme. If it was only temporary, no. That would be stretching. But when you see this going and say, we may have to change this way forever.
Yeah.
The World Health Organization is talking about the next 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they came out and said that. I'm like, no, we'll be talking loud and we'll be singing and you don't have to come, but we're going to be doing it.
Right.
That's just how it is. Because we're going to obey God and not man. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
But this is just one of them. This is the loud singing. Listen, there's also, and I don't have this article for you on the webpage. We can find it later if we need to add it to there. We added some of these, but these are things I'm thinking of. This is not just going to be for Christians. If you go door to door as a Mormon and Jehovah's Witness, you can't because now you're spreading COVID or some other disease or some other virus, which means they can shut down the missionary work of those guys. He's going to attack every religion. They came out and said now they don't want Muslims using their prayer rugs, because if the Muslim, the Muslim before you gets down five times on the prayer rug and touches his head, and he's got COVID-19, then you come in and do it. You're spreading COVID-19. So to Muslims, don't use your prayer rugs. Look what's happening, Greg.
Do you have a personal prayer rug in Islam?
No.
Would you bring your own?
You would at home, probably, for sure. But when you go to mosque, they have rugs set out. And each group comes in, does their prayers, then they leave. So, and you have a different rug each time.
Okay.
Now, my point is, here's what I'm saying. The church, first and foremost, are going to be the ones that where the spiritual activity is going to be squelched, because we're the only ones with the true God. We're the only ones that have a God that really is alive and lives and interacts. So Satan's going to attack the Christian first as the true threat.
Yeah.
However, he doesn't want to just shut down the true threat. He wants to shut down every threat, even false ones.
Yeah.
Which means he can't allow worship to even their gods.
Right.
So watch him. Shutting down door-to-door missionary stuff. There go Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. Shutting down Muslims on their prayer rugs. There go some hindrances to Muslims. They can't do. Now, oddly enough, isn't this interesting? They could do their call to prayer over their speakers.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're not going to be.
The speakers aren't projecting anything.
There you go.
Yeah.
But it's what I want you to be aware of. I want our listeners to be aware of. This is a temporary thing that will pass. It's not all going to engage now. But watch what's happening. The world is slowly moving and will slowly continue to move toward nobody worships anybody.
Right.
Until one day, now you worship me. And the whole world will turn their worship toward him. I guarantee you, look, in that day, you'll be able to sing as loud as you want, preach about him as loud as you want, and probably won't even have a mask. I don't know. But it's going to get interesting.
Well, for the time that we have left, let's bring some balance into that. And let's go to Matthew chapter 16.
Okay.
Because
you're saying I'm unbalanced.
No. we'll talk about that after the show. But Matthew 16. Oh, you got something else?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Matthew 16, Jesus is speaking to Peter, but he's speaking then to the church in prophecy, because at that moment the church did not exist yet.
Right.
But he's talking in Matthew 16, telling Peter that, hey, I'm going to build this church upon you.
Right.
And he goes on to say, in the gates of hell, speaking about the church.
Not on Peter, but
not
on the church.
Not on Peter, but the church.
Yeah.
The gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
The church, right.
So even though, and I just want to bring balance into this, even though we're seeing the stirrings and the beginnings of this kind of, you'll have no other gods beside me, because Satan's going to mock and imitate everything God has done. So he's going to, no one can, worship anyone but
That's
me.
Right.
During our time here on earth, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
That's
so
right.
They're going to try.
Which shows the rapture is going to take place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's a great point, Greg. Yeah. But one last thing I want to bring in to finish this before we finish the first half, and that is, if you don't think that the Antichrist is already moving against the church in a more bold way, not that it's going to stick this time, but he's already trying. Two quick articles. In Chicago, the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, sent armed police to shut down a Baptist church that was having services on Sunday, knocking on the door. Squad cars, people there, a representative from the mayor's office, and they went to shut them down. You cannot meet and have church. Here's another one. The same mayor of Chicago, this Lori Lightfoot.
What news source is that?
This news source is the Washington Sentinel.
Okay.
And this next news source is from Todd Starnes' radio show. Todd Starnes' very famous radio show.
Yeah.
This is the same, a different week, the week before. She literally sent tow trucks to a parking lot where a church is meeting and towed everybody's car away during church.
Wow.
So you came out of church, you had no car.
Heavy-handed for a light foot.
Great analogy. Great point there. That's great. Let me just say this.
Yes.
If you don't think that Satan is already being emboldened by enemies of the church like this Lori Lightfoot, if you don't think he's already being emboldened, you look at what's happening. These are enemies of the church. These are people that are fighting against God. They think they're doing something good. It has begun. It has begun. Are we there yet? No. But it's going to get worse. The last days predicted it. I want our listeners to be aware from a spiritual and scriptural standpoint.
Amen. And we want our listeners to stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to get into articles from Ezekiel, some one world government stuff, growing anti-Semitism still grows. We're going to talk more about the church, and finally some good news as Signs of the Times continues for this May, Friday, the 29th. We'll be right back.
WIAMLP.
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
Is your teen ready for a credit card? Hi, I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. There are a number of things you want to teach your children before they leave home. Today, our founder, the late Larry Burkett, shares the story of a man who learned the hard way that neglecting one of those lessons can have serious consequences.
My son told me a horror story about one of his friends whose father sent him off to college with a credit card, a gas oil credit card. And he just thought that was the greatest thing that God ever created on the face of the earth. In fact, it was so good for him, he really wanted to reward some of his friends, so he loaned his gas card to some of his friends. His father had just under $1,800 worth of charges on his gas credit card. Needless to say, his father withdrew the credit card instantly. But you know, what would you expect out of a 17-year-old going off to school for the first time ever in his life? So you ought to encourage your children, if you desire to use a credit card. Only teach them the rules for using a credit card under very strict controls and verify their account monthly. Now, two of my children chose to use credit cards. Two chose to never use credit cards. My number two son, I never allowed him to have a credit card. But that was a personal choice while he was at home. That was my choice. But my other two, I did. And I required that they balance the account every month. They never have a bill that went beyond a month. And that they always keep an adequate amount of money on hand to pay that bill. In other words, it was in their budget. Well, what is it that we're trying to teach our children? How to be disciplined with money. See, that's what we're supposed to be teaching them while they're in our homes.
Well, one way people are learning to save is by taking Crown's online courses. All of our very best programs are now available in the convenience of your own home. Consider the Money Life Personal Finance Study for your family or money dates for you and your spouse. Learn more at crown.org. That's crown.org.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
I am not an island. My life affects other people. My decisions affect other people. My sinful decisions will affect other people. Sometimes the enemy will lie to you and go, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. Nobody's going to know. Nobody else is going to get hurt. And then the world's picked up on that and go, hey, who are you to tell me what to do? I'm not hurting anyone. Yes, you are. You're hurting everyone around you. And maybe your sin is going to take down the men of Ashkelon, the people that are down the road from you.
For more biblical encouragement to help you grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus, visit edtaylor.org. Again, that's edtaylor.org. A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor is a presentation of Calvary Aurora.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times. Episode 127 rolls on for Friday, May 29th, 2020. You could be listening sometime during the week, maybe not on this Friday, via Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google, Apple, any of those ways where we podcast this program. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to the news articles and the Word of God and what God is telling us is happening in the latter days, that we are truly in the end times indeed. Speaking wars and rumors of wars, one of the biggest wars that's talked about prophetically is the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's prophesied, and we've been chronicling all the little puzzle pieces coming together for that for the really strong for the last 5 years or so. And not to be left out of all of the COVID pandemic stuff, Ezekiel wants to come back into the main screen of our news. And through Newsweek comes the question, what is Russia doing in Libya?
Yeah.
Because the Pentagon warns of escalation as Putin is now sending fighter jets. So what's going on over there?
Yeah, this was the honorable mention. I want to keep this in here because we're going to remind our listeners, again, if you've been listening for any length of time, you already know where I'm going with this. But if you haven't, here's what the Bible says. When this Ezekiel battle takes place, Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is one of the next major battles to take place biblically, is the next major battle biblically to take place prophetically. It's going to be led by Russia and Iran, but joining them will be Libya. And so there's going to be a connection militarily between Russia and Libya, because there has to be. I guess there didn't have to be. They could wait until then. But we're looking for that alliance.
Yes.
And it is happening. The U.S. has accused Russia of upping the stakes in Libya by sending fighter jets to support Russian mercenaries fighting there as rival factions struggle for control of the war-torn nation more than 9 years after rebels first rose up against the late dictator Muammar Gaddafi. President Vladimir Putin, along with Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia, is backing strongman Khalifa Haftar, who heads the Libyan National Army, LNA, and he's fighting the United Nations-recognized Government of National Accord, the GNA, which is now being supported militarily by Turkey and diplomatically by the U.S. and other Western nations. U.S. Africa Command released a statement Tuesday detailing what it said was the deployment of Russian MiG-29 fighter jets to the Al Jufra air base in central Libya. AFRICOM said the planes left Russia and stopped in Syria, where they're, note this, where they were repainted to camouflage their Russian origin. In other words, we're putting them in there. We just don't want anybody to know we're there.
Wow.
Before continue on to Libya. And I quote, Russia is clearly trying to tip the scales in favor of Libya, in its favor, rather, in Libya, said AFRICOM Commander General Stephen Townsend. For too long, Russia has denied the full extent of its involvement in the ongoing Libyan conflict. Well, there's no denying it now. And again, it's exactly what we would predict, because the Bible says, indeed, that's what will happen. So, again, keep your eye on Libya and Russia. You're watching this alliance be built, and we know that eventually they will move together against Israel, and God's going to wipe them out. It's going to be an exciting battle.
You may be a businessman or some high-degree thief. They may call you doctor.
The Antichrist is going to have a one-world government, and as Pastor Mark talked about in the last half hour, how he's getting things prepared for a one-world religion, which is to worship him. We've got people that are looking towards other people to establish that one-world government.
Yeah.
The first article, actually both of these are from Breitbart. The first one is dated May 20th. The PLO, otherwise known as the Palestinian Liberation Organization, is seeking Vatican assistance in dealing with Israel. So what's their problem now?
Well, yeah, you know, interesting. It's almost like this desperation thing, Greg.
Yes.
They couldn't get what they wanted, so they're going to run to their pastor. But it's not their pastor.
But interesting,
it
though,
is very,
it?
You know, again, it's interesting a lot of the fact that the Antichrist and a world spiritual leader are going to link up together to help rule the world.
Yeah.
And now you've got the PLO. Here's what's happening. God said, Israel, I'm giving you the land. I'm bringing you back in the last days. It's going to be yours. God brings them in. The PLO and those that give this say, no way. God's not doing that. You're not going to do it. We think that's not God. We're not going to let you. We're not going to do whatever. The governments of the world have been helping them. Now suddenly the leader of the most powerful nation in the world is now backing Israel. And now he's saying you can annex and make Israel if you want. They're saying now we have to go outside of you. Europe is not helping us enough. Let's go get the Vatican involved. And you're seeing again this formulation against Israel of the world political powers and the world spiritual powers. So the Secretary General of the PLO contacted the Vatican Wednesday to inform of their concerns over possible Israeli annexation of parts of the West Bank. In a carefully worded communique, the Vatican revealed that on Wednesday morning, Saeb Erekat, chief negotiator and secretary general of the PLO, telephoned Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, the Vatican's foreign minister, and he wished to inform the Holy See about recent developments in Palestinian territories and the possibility of Israel applying its sovereignty unilaterally to part those territories, further jeopardizing the peace process. Like they don't know. Like the Vatican and these guys don't know what's happening. In mid-April, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the Blue and White leader Benny Gantz signed a coalition agreement to form a unity government. According to the terms of the deal, the issue of annexation can be voted in the Knesset, on July 1st at the earliest, after discussion between Prime Minister and the alternate Prime Minister take place. The Holy See reiterates that respect for international law and the relevant United Nations resolutions is an indispensable element for the two peoples to live side by side in two states within the borders internationally recognized. Note this, intentionally said, before 1967. Every time you see them, Greg, trying to say, we're not going to agree to anything in the Vatican or in Europe except the 1967 stuff, that basically means Israel had very little land, almost nothing, and we're not going to agree unless they have that. Now, I'm going to take a minute. Real quick, I'll do it. But I want to take a minute to talk about what really happened here. When Israel started coming back into the land, And even, Greg, in 1922, the British mandate allowed for a huge area that included Jordan to be, you know, basically the Israeli area, the, for Jews to come back in. Those, if you see a picture, it's almost like this big-looking tomahawk, a big arm coming up this way, and it comes up to modern-day Israel and then goes on in. There was no Jordan. Jordan didn't exist. It was an ethnos. It was an ethnic group. It was a tribe that was a Saudi Arabian tribe. Okay? They were right next to Saudi Arabia. So they also, Jordan, by the way, are also brothers
that,
of Israel.
That explains
Isn't that cool?
so much.
Isn't that cool? Because they're brothers, and that's why they have peace. And now, sorry, they're brothers with Israel. Now, so they're right there. So here's what they do. So the Britons say, okay, that's yours. Then what happens after that is, in 1947, they say, no, it's not yours. We're giving it now to Jordan, this ethnic group, this tribe out of Saudi Arabia. They now take it over, and Jordan is formed for the first time in, 1947 or whatever, officially, where it's turned over to them. It's a new country, okay? Now, they're there, and what happened was they took two-thirds of the land that was given to Israel by the British mandate after World War I was then, or World War II. No, actually, that was the end of World War I in 22, and now in between there, now heading up to the them coming back in the land, 1947, 48. Two-thirds of the land they were given in 1922, let me just say it that way, it was taken away from Israel. They had that land, two-thirds was taken away. Okay, so they weren't taking land, they was taken away from them.
Right.
Now
right.
They get to 1947, and they do this new thing where they turn it over to Jordan. They lose more land. I wish I had a map to show how this breaks down. I don't right now. The bottom line, land has been being taken away from them. In 1967, they took more land away and gave more areas in there, in Samaria and all, to the Palestinians, the Arabs, and left even a smaller area for Israel, although Israel gained Jerusalem in 1967. And what's happening is Israel is just now trying to say, all right, look, you've taken away everything that was given to us. All we're trying to do is squeeze back in this little tiny area that is our own country where we belong. So when people say that Israel's taking more land, they're simply trying to squeeze into an area. They were given way more, and it's slowly been taken away. They're trying to now breathe again and squeeze back into it. And
well, in the land that God gave them
is much larger.
Is much larger.
Yes.
Goes to Iraq,
all the way over to the Euphrates.
Yeah.
So here's the bottom line: when you see this happening, and they're screaming and jumping up and down, saying, "We want the 67 lines," they're saying, "We want everything that was taken away from the Israel, a nation of Israel, to not only but not be given back, to remain taken away, and we want to take more land." And we know ultimately they want to take all their land and destroy them. So this whole thing where they're doing now is, you know, we've got the political governments in Europe on our side. We've got the Vatican on our side. Both Europe and the Vatican are saying, Israel, stop it. You mean, oh, nasty. That was something my grandmother used to say.
Yeah.
He said, mean, oh, nasty. You mean, oh, nasty. Stop it. And yet now you have America saying, know what? Go for it. And it looks like, Greg, July 1st, after that, it looks like they may annex that region. It's going to get very interesting. People say, oh, there'll be war. I don't know. I don't know. They said there'd be war when they declared the capital of Jerusalem, and there wasn't.
Yeah.
And now they're going to declare this land Israel, which they should. We will see. Could it be Ezekiel 30 and 39? Maybe, but probably not. I don't know. We'll see. But
we'll
that's
see.
What this article has to do with.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our last one regarding one world government, also coming from Breitbart, dated May 25th. Tony Blair, if you'll remember, Tony Blair, he's the former UK prime minister. He's hitting Trump over the coronavirus, and he's seeking more of a global government.
Yeah, but Mr. Tony, who even remembers?
Do you remember
older,
Tony Blair?
Yeah, but most people won't. Who's Tony Blair, and really,
exactly.
Who cares? It's none of his business.
Didn't he come after Margaret Thatcher?
Yes. And the thing is, Greg, is he is involved in a globalist think tank.
Yes.
And I'm going to read some of this. Who cares what he thinks? God is the one that's going to say. But you can see now, here, this is the spirit of the age, okay? Former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair has airily dismissed U.S. President, I'm not sure what airily means, has airily dismissed U.S. President Donald Trump's leadership during the Chinese corona pandemic, instead of harking back to his work alongside Bill Clinton and Barack Obama as examples of how global intergovernmental cooperation can win the day. His remarks in an interview with NBC News last Friday followed an earlier intervention in the crisis, when his own globalist think tank, there it is, claimed that it is, and I quote, embedded in governments around the world, as Breitbart News reported. In his most recent observations, he told NBC News he was worried about the lack of global coordination in tackling the crisis. Notice his mindset is globalism. The worry I have, he says, is that an absence of global coordination and global leadership that's necessary is a huge problem. By building more and bigger global governments, Blair believes leaders could find a vaccine together, accelerate the development of therapeutics and testing capability while keeping the international economy afloat. Now, there is some merit to some of the things he's saying, but as those who are Signs of the Times listeners and prophecy watchers, we recognize a larger thing happening. Even as we see this spiritual move against the church and all religions so the Antichrist can soon be lifted up, we also see now this whole thing of globalism doing away with individual nations and governments all coming together so the Antichrist can lead it all. You see this main theme here? There's one guy wanting to run the show, Greg, in every area. Comes back to the Antichrist. Everyone here are just useful willful ignorance on this thing from what the Bible tells us, and they're being used to help do all this, and it's going to happen. We're working that direction.
Yes, we are. I think, what did Stalin and Lenin call those that were helpful to him? Useful idiots,
useful idiots,
like that?
Yes.
I can't remember which one said
that.
I feel like a useful idiot, I guess. Growing anti-Semitism. One of the prophetic things that will come to pass, matter of fact, is it Jeremiah or Zechariah says that Israel will become a stumbling stone?
Yes, that's Zechariah.
Zechariah. To the whole world.
Yes, chapter 12. Yep.
Well, here's part of the stumbling stone. This is a survey. This comes from jpost.com, dated May 25th. 1 in 5 English people believe COVID is a Jewish conspiracy.
Now, yeah, here's the thing. I wanted to bring this up again. We've talked about this. Anytime something happens, it's the Jews' fault.
It's the Jews' fault.
But why is that? It's a spiritual battle. This is Satan moving in the heart of man because he hates Israel and God's chosen people, as we talked about with Connor earlier. And so, again, and you expect to see this out of Muslim countries and those that have been traditional enemies of Israel. But now you're talking 1 in 5 of the European, of English people that do this. 1 in 5 English people said that the Jews created COVID-19. Now, this thing makes no sense to me. To collapse the economy for financial gain, how are they going to financially gain if the economy collapses?
Maybe they think that they've got the vaccine and the vaccine's going to come from them, and so the whole world's going to have to buy the vaccine or something.
Maybe.
I mean, I have no idea.
No, maybe so. The finding came as a part of a wider survey and attitudes toward the virus and the measures taken to prevent its spread, which found that there was a strong undercurrent of mistrust. Undercurrent of official advice on the virus within the public. Increasingly, as the lockdown has gone on, the signs of conspiracy beliefs forming have become greater. Study leader Daniel Freeman told the Jerusalem Post, in the UK, there has even been the setting fire of mobile phone masks linked to particular coronavirus conspiracy beliefs. We are most interested to see if the conspiracy beliefs led to people discarding the important public health measures to reduce the epidemic. As explained in the paper, it goes on, the respondents were asked to what extent they agreed with 48 conspiracy statements covering topics such as general conspiracy theories about the origin of the spread of the virus and the government's response. Again, the bottom line is there are people out there that are saying the Jews did the coronavirus. Now, here's the thing. In the last days, there's going to be increased plagues. There's going to be increased earthquakes. There's going to be increased famine. All these things. So are the Jews bringing all the locusts in the Middle East? Are they causing the locusts to eat the food that'll bring the famine? Are they causing now the earthquakes? I don't know how they're doing that. Maybe their synagogue scrolls are too big and they're shaking the synagogue and now we're having more earthquakes. It is absurd. It is spiritual. Listeners, keep on your spiritual glasses. Recognize the work of the enemy. It is the enemy at work, very clearly.
ABC News. Dated May 27th, anti-Semitic crimes rise in Germany, most from the far right.
Now, that's interesting.
And I don't know what, in Germany, I don't know if the far right is the neo-Nazi.
They are, they're the radical, In America, the far right would be those that would stand with Israel.
Right, exactly.
Not in Germany.
Not in Germany.
Anti-Semitic crimes in Germany last year reached their highest level since the country started keeping stats amid an overall strong increase in right extremist criminality that is the cause for great concern, Interior Minister Horst Seehofer said on Wednesday. What a great name, Horst Seehofer. Overall, politically motivated crimes were up 14.2% in 2019 over the previous year, which is the second highest level since authorities began tracking them in 2001. The largest threat, as in the past, is the threat from the right, Seehofer said. Extreme right politically motivated cases make up more than half of the recorded crimes. It is an order of magnitude that causes us concern, great concern. Various extremist groups have played their part in making this anti-Semitism socially acceptable, Knobloch said in a statement. Above all, the so-called alternative for Germany. She said the coronavirus pandemic has created a new platform for anti-Semitism, like they need one, and called on authorities to crack down on conspiracy theories being spread over the internet. So again, further attacks on the Jewish people, spiritual in nature, and you're going to see more and more of it as we go in the last days, and the church included in that, but it's going to be Christians and Jews getting hit the most.
Everything that you want to get at the grocery store, pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This is from AP Network News, apnews.com, dated May 28th, out of New Delhi. Virus and the heat wave and locusts form a perfect storm in India.
Yeah, we talked about it last days, Greg, Matthew 24. You're going to see plagues and, yeah, and famines, and locusts bring famines. As if the coronavirus wasn't enough, India grappled with scorching temperatures and the worst locust invasion in decades as authorities prepared for the end of a months-long lockdown, despite recording thousands of new infections every day. The triple disaster drew biblical comparisons and forced officials to try to balance the competing demands of simultaneous public health crisis, protection from eviscerating heat, but also social distancing in newly reopened parks and markets. The heat wave threatens to compound challenges of containing the virus, which has started spreading more quickly and broadly since the government began easing restrictions. In the heat, they said it's very dangerous to work outside with a mask. So a catch-22 situation. At the same time, swarms of desert locusts have devastated crops in India's heartland, threatening an already vulnerable region that is struggling with the economic cost of the lockdown. K.L. Gujar, a top official of India's locust warning organization, said his 50-person team was scrambling to stop the swarms before breeding can take place during India's monsoons, which begin in July. Otherwise, he said, the locusts could destroy India's summer crops. Meanwhile, India reported another record single-day jump of more than 6,500 coronavirus cases on Thursday. So they've got this kind of multi-thing going on.
You've got
the virus.
You've got
the locusts, and you've got the famines that are going to happen. Again, signs of the times,
Matthew,
Greg,
24.
Everything happening
Matthew
all
24.
Around the planet. Right now, you got the worldwide pandemic. You got the famines. The whole thing's going on. Remember, it's a contraction. What you're going to see is it'll rise up, gang, and it's going to come right back down, but less and less time between each one, and then more and more violent as they take place.
It's like that guy at the circus where he'd have all those sticks and he'd start spinning plates on top of the sticks, and all these plates keep them spinning at the same time.
Yep.
We got a lot of prophecies spinning
at the same time. Yes, we do.
Okay, I'm really glad that this article was in our stack, because I saw this the other day because I wanted to make sure that you had a chance from a pastoral point of view to address this.
Yeah.
This is from FoxNews.com. Christian band responds to its lead singer saying that he no longer believes in God.
You know, Greg, this really hits a personal note to me. I want to address this hopefully in a balanced way.
Okay.
Obviously, right off the bat, I want to say this. It's devastating whenever someone that claims to be a Christian and is not really, which obviously he never was a true Christian. It's sad when someone who claims to be a Christian and doesn't know God has been in ministry, end quote, for many years, and then comes out and says, you know, I don't believe in God or this and that. It does great damage, especially to those that have been followers of maybe this particular band or people that have looked to him to think that he's a leader in something. It can make people stumble. And so there's a natural...
And it's the leader of Hawk Nelson.
Yeah, and there's a natural anger that can be there in the stumbling that it would cause other believers and young believers and the damage that it does to the church. But there also is a certain level of... of understanding and reaching him on a personal level. On a broad level, this is very wrong and does great damage to the church. It's very upsetting. On a personal level, I used to be that guy. He's a pastor's kid who was unsaved.
Mm.
He hung around all kinds of church things his whole life because that's what you did.
So you can relate to this.
And then one day he realized, there's nothing really here for me. I did this. Now, I didn't do what he did.
Right.
But I spent years, I was an unsaved pastor's kid. I went to church my whole life, did all the church activities, even sang in the choir some. And then when I got older, realized, I don't really believe this. Is this all there is? I don't want to be a part of this. If this is it, it wasn't that I didn't believe in God. I didn't go as far as this guy did. I don't want to make that comparison. But I was like, if this is all there is to church and what you're calling religion and God, you know, I really, it doesn't interest me. And I walked away for years, and then God grabbed me and brought me back to him, etc. So I have, here's where this guy is. This is an unsaved pastor's kid who had a gift in music and tried to use it for what he thought was right, and one day realized, I'm not being honest because I don't even really know God or believe in God. He doesn't know God. So he's found himself almost an unwilling hypocrite, almost an unknowing hypocrite. And because of that, he's done great damage. But it also, in one way, reminds me of Paul, where Paul was like, thought he was zealous for God, but didn't even know God.
Yeah,
and Paul says, God has shown me grace because I was ignorant and I didn't know him. And Paul did great damage.
To the church, yeah.
But God took what the cankerworm had eaten and the locust, and he restored it. So this guy's done great damage to the church. He's done great damage to people. He's probably stumbled people. And on a human level, it's upsetting and bothersome. But at the same time, he's totally ignorant. He doesn't know what he's done. He doesn't know God. And I think there's going to be greater grace for people like that. You know, the guy that a while back, this worship leader for Hillsong that came out and said, I'm walking away from God. That was different. He claimed, I knew God, I know God, I believed in God, but I've decided I'm no longer going to believe in God, I'm going to walk away. So he made the claim of being a Christian and walking away. This guy didn't make that claim. So his level of judgment is much less in the sense of in God's eyes. Again, I'm not taking up for him. This is a horrible thing. But this is the guy that said, you know what? I've never really believed in God. I'm just going to tell the truth now. The other guy said, I believe in God, but I'm walking away. So there's a different level of accountability. Both are bad. Both are not good. Both do damage to the church. But I would encourage you to be praying, obviously, for both, the lead singer of Hillsong to repent and come back to or truly meet God, if he's never met him, and it sounds like maybe he hadn't, if he just walked away to repent. And really be praying for this lead singer of Hawk Nelson.
You going to read any of that article?
Yes, I will.
Just because we've only got 2 minutes left.
Okay. Yeah. But to also be praying for him to truly come to know God. Members of the popular Christian band, together 20 years, John Steingard, the lead singer, made a shocking announcement. He doesn't believe in God. He told Fox News, God is still for John, what the group said to Fox News.
Yeah.
God is still for John, and he still matters. The truth doesn't change just because we question it. And again, they include themselves. Maybe they're trying to be whatever. I don't know if they're questioning as well. I don't know why they said we. That's odd to me.
Well, maybe he was speaking, that's one
soften
of their
bandmates.
That's one of their bandmates.
I get it.
They still feel a unity to John in the sense of the band, I'm thinking.
Yeah, one of our best friends with whom we've walked, worked, and lived alongside for 20-plus years revealed some of his innermost feelings on his faith journey and basically said, I've been terrified to post this for a while, the lead singer said, but it feels like it's time for me to be honest. After growing up in a Christian home, being a pastor's kid, playing and singing in a Christian band, and having the word Christian in front of most of the things in my life, I now am finding I'm no longer believing God. Here's the thing is, it's whether he believes in God or not, he never knew him. And I want to say this to our listeners. If you've ever met Jesus Christ, you will never doubt it. You may backslide. You may fall away. You may pitch a temper tantrum when things don't go your way, but you will never honestly be able to say there's no God or I don't know him. When you meet Jesus Christ for real, it is radical. It is mind-blowing, and no one can ever talk you out of it, which shows me he's never really come to know the Lord. And again, he goes on, his band member saying, we're hoping the best for him, et cetera, but let's pray for him. Oh, you into the last one?
No, we've got 1 minute.
Okay, I'll say this. Here's some good news.
Well, I'll just
read the headline.
Okay,
go ahead. Let's do it. One minute. Come on.
67% of young people have turned to prayer, spiritual questions more amid the panic.
I won't read it because we don't have time. But let me say this.
Read it on our website.
Here's some good news. This is causing the next generation to cry out to God. And if God uses this to get the next generation to cry out to God, then praise the Lord. God makes beauty from ashes. God will take COVID and make corona crowns. Corona means crown or something like that, I think, whatever. I mean, if he can turn a corona into a crown that's on a believer and lead them to the kingdom, praise the Lord. So, again, for beauty from ashes, God takes the bad things and turns them good. I think of Romans 8:28, the thing that the enemy intended for evil. I'm not even saying the enemy did this. The point is God intends for good, and God uses for good. Or rather, I'm sorry, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Both are scriptures, but that's Romans 8:28 there. So it's praise the Lord. God's using it to bring people to himself.
And you know, the Bible also says to save some by fear.
That's right.
And this is a fearful time.
Yes.
And so if people come to know Jesus Christ through this fearful time, then it was worth it.
Yes, it was.
because we're talking about eternity.
Yes, it was.
And this is just temporary.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Mark, thank you. Folks, don't forget the signs.org for everything related to our program, including asking Pastor Mark those prophecy questions that we always like to get. So thanks for joining us. Make sure to come back next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.